Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business. So should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
As Stokely and Zach officially take over the morning show, we may never give it back.
We've invaded. We've taken it over.
That's right. That's right. And what we do on a Monday after a Broncos football game. Where is Mike this morning? Do we know? He's just
disappeared. He's giving me grief a couple weeks ago on Twitter about me missing.
Oh my goodness. Mike has no room to talk.
We'll fill in for you, Mike. Don't worry. I'll take over your spot. Don't worry.
You know what we say in the business when we're trying to be respectful? We say, he's on assignment.
Yes.
And when
yes.
on assignment usually means he's back home with the
Cheers.
Gang drinking IPAs.
Or having like some kind of heart surgery.
Right. So some sort of baby heart surgery.
Yeah. I just cut myself open. I want to miss a couple weeks of work.
What do you got, pros and cons?
Look, I mean, starting off the game, great job by the defense. Bend, but don't break. Houston had a nice drive going there. Nope. Broncos bended. They didn't break. They hold. What had to happen? Texans had to punt. Great job by the defense to start the game off on the right foot. You got momentum. You're feeling good about yourself. Offense comes out on the field. What'd we do? Love the first play of the game. Loved it. Little play action pass. Get Drew Lock outside the pocket a little bit. Throws a dime to Fant.
I thought it was going to be picked off.
Yes, I did too. Throws a dime to Fant, and he escapes the tackle for a huge, huge game down the right sideline. Really, really nice design of a first play. You get locked confident, and we saw what happened.
By the way, hold on. Noah Fant. What a football game from Noah Fant.
He had a solid game. Had a really, really good football game, Zach.
Excuse me?
He had a great football game.
He played great. He had a solid football
my
game.
Bad. My you bad. Go he played great. He played great. I'm going to give him a lot of credit. He played great.
I'll tell you
and
what.
Thank goodness Drew Lock threw such a great ball on that touchdown pass. Because the ball actually caught him. He tried to drop it, but the ball said, that's too good of a pass. I'm not going to let you drop it.
Well, it didn't work that way last
Holy
week, did it?
Holy cow.
Well, right. I'll say this. No fan has struggled the last couple weeks, and because I know you won't do it for me, when we were on the air on Friday, I gave one prediction. I said, I'll tell you what, I got one thing that I see coming to fruition. No fan is going to have a big football game, and he was terrific.
And you did call it, and you did say it, and he did deliver
you, bud.
Thank you. I thought about you the whole time when I'm watching Lock run, Fant run up and down the sideline. But that was a great release by Noah Fant on that play. If you watch the release, really great release by him. Use his speed, and obviously you can't throw a better ball than Drew Lock on that play.
Lasers.
You just can't.
Lasers.
You just can't do it. That's an NFL big-time throw.
Well said.
How about A.J. Johnson? I mean, knocking the ball out of Kude's hands.
Whose hands?
Yeah, that guy, that receiver for the Texans. Knocking it out, Atache scoops it up, and then the awareness, you know, as he's getting his leg pulled and to stay up, and then hand the ball to Kareem Jackson 70 yards later, touchdown, Denver Broncos. Great, great defensive play by a lot of different players. A.J. Johnson, Atache, Kareem Jackson, really, really nice job by all those guys. 70-yard touchdown, big play in the game. How about Kareem Jackson's hit on DeAndre Hopkins?
Oh, my God.
Sit down. Be humble.
Look at you.
Yeah, baby. That was a big-time play on third down. Really, really, really nice job by Kareem Jackson. All football game. Had many of these pros for in my pros and cons. Had a lot of these pros.
Real quick, I'm just conditioned after a hit like that for the flag. I was just waiting for the flight. Yep. I couldn't believe it. I said, wait. It's December of 2019. Someone got their block knocked off and there wasn't a flag. I thought that was just a cool NFL moment.
Yeah, it was a nice job by him taking his head out of it, his shoulder into the chest. It's hard to do. Game's moving really, really fast. Great job, Kareem Jackson. Third and long, lock to Timmy Pack down the left sideline. Big time play. Big time conversion. Those are plays that win you football games. Instead of having to punt, and giving Houston momentum. Maybe they go down to score. Whatever the case may be, you're converting third and longs. I mean, we never see that. We can't convert third and short. Third and long, great, great play. Tim Patrick down the left sideline from Drew Lock. Drew Lock to Hierman. Easy, easy touchdown. I put in my notes, wow, 92 and 80-yard touchdown drives, 21-0 Denver Broncos.
Could not believe that score. They go up 21-0, and I'm just like...
I was thinking Minnesota. I think we all were.
But it felt different. It really did.
Well, it felt great in Minnesota, too, but that feeling can change in the second half when you come out of the locker room.
The Broncos have been known to flip on you. But when they go up 21-0, my wife is like doing laundry. She stopped in her tracks and she's like, is this happening? And I'm like, I don't know. I think so.
Pinch me. I'm sleeping.
My goodness.
Good job defense again. Holding the Texans to a field goal. That's what it's all about in the NFL. Can you hold teams to field goals? They're too good. Rules are set up for offenses. Can you hold teams to field goals? And the Broncos were able to do it. Great call. They fake the pass to the back. This is a play that I really love. They had thrown this pass a few plays before to Phillip Lindsay. Just kind of got out and threw the little swing pass to Lindsay. He got stopped for no gain. This time they faked it to Lindsay. A little bit of a delay to Noah Fant going right up the middle of the football field. Really nice design of a play. Faked it over there to the swing pass. Delay to Noah Fant. Rich Gangarello, great job all game long, dialing things up, staying aggressive, being creative, designing plays for Drew Lock. Really, really nice play right there.
Rich Gangarello deserves a whole heap of credit. He's been under fire. Our buddy D-Mac in the afternoon referred to him this past week as a dead man walking. I think he might have saved his job yesterday.
So. I think you did. I absolutely think you did. You know, when you're talking about a young quarterback and dialing up plays and highlighting that young quarterback, he did that yesterday. Great response by the Broncos offense. They got three after the Texans got three. That's what you want to do. You want to respond to scoring from the other football team. This offense did it. How about that stop on 4th and 1 right before half? Shelby Harris again. I mean, does anybody bat more balls than Shelby Harris? I mean, J.J. Watt used to do it, but you could put Shelby Harris in that category, whether it's field goals or passes defended. Shelby Harris is always getting those mitts up.
You asked a question. You said, does anybody bat more passes? In the most literal sense, and you might have heard this on the broadcast, no player on the defensive line on any NFL team has more batted down passes than Shelby Harris.
I mean, he's unbelievable. He really is. Nice drive. After the stop, great play call by Rich Gangarello on the zone read. Zone readed it, and then what happened? Freeman just leaked out into the flat right there. Nice, easy pitch and catch. Touchdown right before half. You got all the momentum. This thing's a wrap. There's no chance that they're going to give up this lead. Really, really great first half for the Denver Broncos. And then the way they started the second half. Are you kidding me? I mean, just when you didn't think it could get any better.
Right?
I mean, this can't get any better. They come out after halftime. Houston made adjustments. Broncos made adjustments. What's going to happen? We're going to go 3 and out, right? Nope. How about that? They go right down the field and finish it off with a touchdown. Great way to start the second half. I mean, unbelievable first 5 or 6 drives from the Denver Broncos. Just we haven't seen that in so long. Woo!
And at that point, with that drive that you're referencing to start the second half, that's when I knew it wasn't a dream. It was like an 8-play 57-yard drive, go down the field. I think it was Phillip Lindsay who eventually punched it in. And it was just like, this is happening.
Yeah.
Like, this is a thing. This is happening. And I think...
They're not going to screw this one up.
They're not going to screw this one up, right. And I... yesterday is a football game that I think Broncos country is going to remember for a long time.
Yeah, remember that game that kind of started this? Remember that Drew Lock's coming out party?
And you think of who was involved. Noah Fant is a star. Phillip Lindsay is a star. Drew Lock is a star. Tim Patrick was terrific. This young core is providing real optimism. It's not fake. It's real. There's real reasons to be hopeful. So there's been one Bronco that's been a hot topic around here and a divisive topic. But boy, did he make a real case for himself yesterday. We'll take a dive into it next.
Oh. You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank.
Banking for good.
Dreams are made of these. Who am I to disagree?
And yesterday felt like a dream, didn't it?
As yes, it did.
Denver Broncos, as nearly a double-digit underdog, went into Houston and beat an 8-4 Houston Texans team that has Super Bowl aspirations. And above all, Drew Lock balled out of control. This is Stokely and Zach filling in. When I say we're taking over, we're not the permanent host.
We're not?
No.
I was kind of starting to get wired for waking up at 4:45 every morning.
I'll sleep
3 hours and just tossing and turning the whole night. I don't get to enjoy that every day.
You know what one of the great mysteries of our lifetime is? One of the great mysteries is, what does Mike Evans do after he gets off the air?
It's not. Child, please.
It's 8:55 in the morning when he gets off the air. What does Mike do? We know Mark's busy.
He naps, guys. That's what he does.
I'm sure he does.
And sleeps. That's what he does.
I wrote a blog.
What does Mike do after 8:55 a.m.?
To linger.
It's a great mystery, and I'm not sure we will ever know the answer to it. But going into the break, Stoke, we said that one Bronco has been a hot topic around here, and he's been a divisive topic. And I have equated him in our normal time slot between noon and 3, and of course, Stokely and Zach Bye here filling in for Schlereth and Evans. I've equated him to Demaryius Thomas, because whenever you brought up DT, he would just divide the room. The text line would light up.
Yeah.
Everyone had an opinion on it. Even though he's one of the great receivers of all time, it felt like when you brought his name up, half of Broncos country didn't like the guy. And it wasn't too many weeks into his career, and it felt like Broncos country, a portion of it anyway, was turning on Noah Fant as a rookie. The first round tight end. We shouldn't have drafted a tight end. We should have drafted Devin Bush. This guy, it hasn't been perfect. It's been far from perfect, in fact. And you have done a good job of chronicling
his journey.
His journey, his low lights.
Yeah.
But
I think I've been fair.
You have been.
I think I've
you
been
have
fair.
Been. You have been.
With
you have
Noah
been.
Fant. I've praised him when it's warranted, and I've been down on him when it's warranted also. And I think my expectations for Noah Fant were, kind of what we're seeing now. I think we both thought he would come in and do some good things, and also he was going to do some bad things. And I think that's what everybody has to remember here. It doesn't happen overnight. And I think we've really done, and you've done a great job of looking at rookie tight ends in the NFL. They don't just come onto the scene and have 1,000-yard seasons. I think it's been done once. Mike Ditka?
One time. It was Mike Ditka.
Mike
Ditka.
Like 50
years
in the
ago.
Like 30s, right?
Right,
when he played.
Right.
So, look, these guys don't come on the scene and produce at a very high level right away. It takes a little bit of time. And certainly you've seen Noah Fant's highs. You've seen his lows. And yesterday was awesome. That's what we want to see, starting with the first play of the game. And to me, my favorite play of the game was the touchdown. The touchdown that I loved his release on the line of scrimmage. And, the guy's press coverage, and he just gave that quick little move and then swam the arm over, the right arm over, and then used his speed to create some separation. Now, the throw was unbelievable. He tried to drop it, but the ball just said no. I'm going to make you catch me. That's
sure.
what the ball told him.
Sure.
It was too good of a ball. I mean, you couldn't throw a better ball than that. But the release, and it was a third down and long, third and 12.
That's right.
That's the plays you got to make. That's why we drafted you at number 20. Okay. You're big. You're physical. You got speed. You can create separation, and you're a red zone target. But he was great. I mean, he was flat out brilliant. And if you could get that 1-2 punch, between Drew Lock having that confidence in a guy like Noah Fant, I mean, that would be fun to watch for a long time around here.
And the reasons for optimism continue to grow. We talk about Drew Lock, Courtland Sutton, Philip Lindsay, Noah Fant. and this potential of having a franchise tight end. You know, only a couple teams have him, but Noah Fant is showcasing exactly why he was drafted in the first round. And by the way, it's not going to be perfect moving forward. He's going to continue to bump his head, if you will. But yesterday, when he leads the Broncos with four receptions for 113 yards and a touchdown, are you kidding me? And here's a number that you need to know. And I encourage you to lock in right now. Take this in, and you'll repeat it to your friends throughout the day. Noah Fant is the sixth tight end in the history of the NFL as a rookie to have multiple 100-yard games in his rookie season. How about that?
Wow.
Only five players in the history of the league have ever, in their rookie season, have multiple 100-yard games. And that's what he did yesterday. And you know what I did? You know what I did last night? Because I don't have much of a life, right? I do the show, and I hang out at home, right? I went back and looked at our predictions before the season. And I kept a hard copy.
Oh.
And I asked you, I said, Stoke, what did you think that Noah Fant should, what should we reasonably expect? And you had Fant at 40 receptions for 510 yards and six touchdowns. I had Fant at 31 receptions, 428 yards, and four touchdowns. Okay? Judging by the context of historically the way that rookie tight ends have struggled, as you said at the outset, Noah Fant right now currently sits at 35 receptions for 492 yards and three touchdowns with still three games remaining on the schedule. He is going to surpass both of our expectations. And it hasn't been perfect. He's going to continue to have moments where you want to rip your hair out. But I think from an expectation standpoint coming in, Noah Fant has had a great, great rookie season. And unarguably, statistically, it's the greatest rookie tight end season in Denver Broncos history.
He has. Look, he's made some big plays and he's made some bad plays, but he's overall, I think when you look at the numbers and you look at his impact, you say a rookie tight end, I know expectations around town were very, very high. Because of what you said, you're sitting there in the draft and you could have drafted Devin Bush and all you're hearing about him in Pittsburgh is he is wrecking shop in Pittsburgh and he is doing so many great things there. And we looked at our need at the inside linebacker position and said, well, why didn't we draft him? Noah Fant's got to be a 100-yard receiver every game.
Right.
And I think when you take a step back and let this thing play out, you got to give it a couple years before you say Noah Fant is this or that. But to start his career, there's been more good than bad.
Where are the goofballs that were calling Noah Fant a bust after four, five, six football games? Where are those guys at? Please stand up and show yourselves.
Please stand up.
It was very, very an overreaction from a portion of Broncos country that I think, and Millennial Ben, you are one of them.
Oh,
you are one of them.
Oh, look, he's standing up.
Thank you.
He's standing up.
Thank
yes.
you for owning
Thank
it.
Thank you.
And the biggest part about getting better is just admitting that you made a mistake in the first place. All right. I have a stat on Drew Lock that you have to hear. And I promise you, you'll be repeating it at work today. Trust me. I'll give it to you in four down territory next.
Professional football in America is a special game.
This is four down territory.
I'd like to start out with a thank you to John Elway.
That just happened.
Now, I'll kill a snitch. I'm not saying I have. I'm not saying I have.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountain?
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Gentlemen, this is the real thing. This is what you've been trained for.
First down.
Faith to Spencer. This is a touchdown to Freeman. Third touchdown in the first half by the rookie Drew Lock. A 3-yard touchdown pass. This is going to shock people around the NFL.
And it certainly did. It shocked people here in Denver.
Right.
It shocked me.
Local. Everybody here, think it shocked.
Thank you, Kevin Harlan. And going into the break, I said I have a number here that you need to hear. And Kevin Harlan was just referencing that first half. That was as brilliant of a first half by an NFL quarterback as you may ever see. And I have a number here to back it up. Drew Lock's quarterback rating of 157.8 in the first half is the highest quarterback rating for a Denver Bronco since John Elway against the Dallas Cowboys in September of 1988.
Good.
There was a lot of good first half from PFM, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And somehow, Drew Locke's first half yesterday sticks out, going back to when Ronald Reagan was in office. So
it was brilliant. It really was. I mean, they got off to a fast start, and they didn't punt the ball until late in the football game.
Yeah.
Two punts all game.
The fourth quarter, I think.
Yeah, all game long. He was brilliant. I mean, you look at some of the throws he made. I love how Rich diagrammed some of the things. They stayed aggressive. And, I mean, it was just from top to bottom, offensively, it was a great performance. And Drew Locke was, I mean, first ever road start. I mean, second start in the NFL. To play like that, perform like that, what a way to start your career.
Next in four down territory.
Second down.
It meant a lot, you know. Obviously, coming back here to Houston, you know, I played that for 9 years, you know. For me, I just wanted to come here, be a piece to the puzzle to help the team win, you know. For me, that's what it's all about. I didn't want to make it about myself all week, but more so about our team coming here and executing all three phases, you know. And I felt like that's what we came here and we did.
If you ever had like a fantasy of getting back at someone, or you know, you go back to your high school, your old workplace, you're going to show someone up and you go to sleep and you dream about it. Typically, you wake up and that thing doesn't happen. It did happen for Kareem Jackson. He was drafted in the first round by the Houston Texans, played there for 9 years. They let him walk, and he goes back there. Stoke, I thought he was, with all due respect to Drew Locke, I thought he was the best football player on the field yesterday.
He was everywhere. I mean, he's been great this whole year, and it was highlighted by yesterday's performance. I mean, in the run game, in the pass game, big hits, big plays, touchdowns, interceptions. He was all over the place. John Elway, free agency, has not been good here recently, especially this past year. Kareem Jackson was a great signing, and he's been great all year.
Next in four down territory.
Third down. Burrow again looks to the far sideline. Now waits on the shotgun snap. Here it comes. Looking left. Pressure coming from the left. Throws it up left corner of the end zone. Waiting for it. Justin Jefferson. He's got it. Touchdown. Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
What do you make of the college football playoff, Soak?
I love it. I love it. I think you look at it, I think they finally got it right. I think LSU should be number one. Ohio State should be number two. Clemson number three. I love the top three. Any of those three teams can win it, and it's going to be a great one. I think it's wide open. You got three really good football teams at the top of it with LSU, Ohio State, and then Clemson at three, kind of the forgotten Clemson Tigers.
Right.
You know, two out of the last three BCS champions. Trevor Lawrence. Have we forgotten about Trevor Lawrence? Did we forget about his freshman year? I can't wait. I'm more excited about this than I have been any college football playoff year. It's going to be a fun one. No more Alabama. And then you got Oklahoma at four. And, you know, we've all seen Jalen Hurts and what he's been able to do in big moments. So it's going to be, for me, the most interesting and fun one to watch.
It feels like any one of these four teams could win it. And specifically, LSU, Ohio State, and Clemson. It feels like I'm yeah. sure Oklahoma could pull it off, but it feels like for the first time in a long time that three of the four candidates here, you could close your eyes and envision them being showered in confetti and raising that that crystal ball.
And that hasn't been the case. It's been the top two teams, Alabama, Clemson. Alabama, Clemson, Alabama, Clemson. And now you throw these three teams in that I believe they're all undefeated. All three of those are undefeated. All three undefeated football teams. LSU runs through the SEC, Big Ten, Ohio State, and, of course, the ACC is really down. That's why Clemson is three, is their strength of schedule. They haven't
right.
played anybody. They haven't.
Right.
Dabo can say whatever he wants. You know, he can get up there and cry, we're disrespected, nobody gives us the respect that we deserve. Well, y'all don't play anybody. Y'all haven't
right.
played anybody. Play in the ACC. You played Virginia in your championship game, and Virginia
right.
stinks, okay, and you won by 70. So
stop scheduling right. Wofford and Charlotte.
That's right.
You know?
And he barely beat North Carolina. So they're three for a reason. He's playing it up with what he should do. But they are a really good football team. And those top three teams, you're right. Any one of them could win it. It's going to be fun.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
This team is building every single week. The defense is getting better. The offense is still rolling and doing good things. We're still getting better. And it's part of the process. It's day by day. Obviously, we wanted to get this step. We wanted to win this game, win the AFC West. But we're still going. And that's how we're going to keep rolling throughout the rest of the season into the playoffs.
Why does Patrick Mahomes sound like he just inhaled some helium?
Showtime.
Rich Gangarello.
He's got a little Rich in him.
He does.
He's got a little Rich in him.
I don't know why he sounds like that, but he's a very good quarterback. He's they had a good, good one. They broke the Patriots' 22-game home winning streak, which it's a tough place to go into and win. Patriots obviously aren't what we've expected to see from them, especially beginning of the year to where they are now. But Kansas City going on the road. Their defense played really good, and we're going to see them this week. Do you see what happened to their gear?
This story is something. The equipment container that contained some of the Chiefs' shoulder pads, helmets, and footballs, well, it went to Newark, New Jersey instead of Foxborough, Massachusetts.
You know, they know people. You got to know people over there. You got to, I mean, there's a reason why it went over there. You got to pay the fine. You know what I'm talking about, right?
You know, it went to Newark.
Wonder how much they had to pay to get that container back.
You know, that's a good question. But it went to Newark, somewhere where Jimmy Hoffa's buried, instead of going to Foxborough. The gear didn't get there until 2 hours before the football game. They said if the Chiefs hadn't got the equipment by the time the game started, they would have had to forfeit. Like, this is 2019. What the heck?
You can't forfeit a game. There's no chance. Too much money at stake. They would have had to find gear somewhere. Go to the local Dick's. Go to the high school, go to the college. You're going to have to find gear to gear up and play, because there's no chance that all those people show up to the stadium, the announcers are there, TV crews are ready. And, oh, nope, sorry, they don't have gear.
Could you imagine?
They don't have shoulder pads, so you know what? We're not going to play this game. They have to forfeit. Go home, everybody.
So what would they have done, though? If the gear did, would you just slap on some leather heads and...
Well, you go
see
find...
see you later.
You go find gear... Like I said, at the hardware store.
At the hardware store.
At the sporting goods store. I don't care where you got to find it. They're going to find it. Yes, they got knee pads over there at the hardware store. You haven't seen it all the way in the back around the corner?
No, yeah. I missed that.
In the back room. They got the old knee pads and the old thigh pads back there.
But seriously, like would they have...
You would have had to find it. You would have put out a
local
APB.
College, maybe?
And, yep, and you would have found gear somewhere. There's no chance that they would forfeit a game because of equipment not being there.
What a wacky story in 2019. A source said, I never heard of that before. And I think that source speaks.
How does a container go to the wrong spot?
Don't know.
I mean, I've had it happen on one of my flights. You know, my container that had my bags, the flight continued, didn't get off. But, you know, I was flying from here to Indy, and the plane kept going to Boston. They had their own plane, and it just, they're not.
It's mind-boggling.
It is
on the commercial flight, just with everybody else, right? I mean, so...
What a wacky, wacky story. Could you imagine? Could you imagine if it was just delayed another 120 minutes and they don't have their gear at kickoff of the most primetime game of the week? You got 75,000 people there to watch the game, nationally televised. What a wacky, wacky story. But... crisis averted. They got their stuff and they got the win there in Foxborough. All right.
That's always a good thing to see.
After
I don't care what team it is.
That's right. And by the way, I told you they're going to go in there and win. And I told you that Oregon was going to upset Utah. And because of that, you're going to be buying.
Do you want to know our fantasy score this week in the playoffs? What happened, me and you? Is that where you want to go right now?
Ben, go ahead and kill his mic.
Do you want to go there right now? Do you? Because we played fantasy this week, head-to-head in the playoffs. Number one seed, that would be me, Stokely, against number four seed. And that's the way it played out.
Well,
the number one seed dominates. So you can tell your brother. Okay. So take that L on the way out.
My brother does run my team. All right. Here's a challenge for you. Game balls. There can only be one. Who are you going to choose for yesterday's upset victory? We'll take a dive into it next. I'll tell you what. When you have an upset the way that we had yesterday where the Denver Broncos go into Houston, a team with real Super Bowl aspirations, an 8-4 football team at home. Broncos nearly a double-digit underdog. You go in and upset that football team, there's a lot of credit that needs to be served out. Brandon Stokely, Zach Bye. We are Stokely and Zach filling in for Schlereth and Evans this morning. This is a challenge here. And, you know, it gets easier when you say, oh, well, give one to the defense, give one to the offense, maybe even give one to the special teams. But I'm going to have you pick just one person to give a game ball to. But before I hear who you're going to pick, this is Vic Fangio yesterday in the locker room and who he gave his first game ball out to.
22 of 27. 309 yards. First rookie in NFL history with 300 yards and 3 TDs and first road start.
Last week, I really appreciate all y'all having my backs. And even more this week on the first road start, everybody making plays.
I'll tell you what, man, that was a special football game yesterday and a special performance from Drew Locke. Vic gave him the game ball after he didn't give it to him a week ago.
Some people were so upset about that. James, Marilat, Zach Bye.
You can throw me in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I did. I did. Both of y'all. So upset that Vic didn't give it to Drew Locke and he should have gave it to him. He played good. He threw for 134 yards. Like, how do you not give him the game ball? Come on, Vic. You're so mean. Meanie, weenie, Vic. Oh,
I thought.
You don't know how to relate to the players. You don't talk to them nice. You don't ask them about their families and kids. Oh, Vic, you're just the worst.
You are really something. You are really something.
My best friend Peyton Manning.
I thought a week ago, just to reiterate my stance to a new audience here in the morning, I thought that last week was, in fact, a missed opportunity from Vic Fangio to empower his new young quarterback after getting a victory in his very first start against a Chargers team that was expected to win. No big deal. Whatever.
You empower him when he plays well. And he played well, and that's what Vic did. He empowered him. Okay, here's your game
Drew
ball.
Locke started
if you
last
game
week
ball
through
to
multiple
empower you,
through multiple
then,
touchdowns,
you know what?
I just thought
you're
it was
not
enough.
Be the quarterback for us. He showed he doesn't need a game ball.
It's not a big deal.
Be empowered.
That's right. He didn't need a game ball.
Even though he gave
Brandon Allen a game ball when he threw for less than 200 yards and got a victory just a couple weeks before. That's okay.
He knew Brandon Allen needed to be empowered.
Well,
see, that was the difference. That was the difference.
You know, I think you're onto something. I'll give it to you. I think you're onto something. But yesterday was a special performance. It wasn't just getting by, right? Because that win against the Chargers was nice, that 23-20 victory where Drew Locke went 18 for 28, 134 yards. He did complete 64% of his passes and throw a couple touchdowns, but I got you.
That was cute. That Chargers game was cute. That's cute. That's nice. This was fine.
It was fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. Not like, that was fine.
Yeah.
It was fine. Yeah. Like, wow.
Yeah, like, whoa.
Like Black Rob.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. That's right. That's right.
Like, hang, girl.
Golly. Hammer don't hurt him. Yesterday was special. Yesterday was a special performance from Drew Locke.
I hope my wife's not in the car.
Hi, Lana. Three touchdowns, over 300 yards. Still, he completed 88% of his passes. When you can count a quarterback's incompletions on just one hand.
Take it away.
I'll tell you what, man.
That's a pretty good game.
Pretty good.
Unless you only played like four snaps. You play a full football game.
That's right.
Ooh.
Yesterday was special. And I think we're going to remember it for quite some time. And I think it's like a new launching point for the Denver Broncos. It feels that way. That it's this new jumping off point where it's the dawn of a new day.
And I think, you know, I think what it is too, yeah, yes, it's Drew Locke. Okay. That's where it starts. Do we have a quarterback of the future? Is John going to go back in the draft and whiff on quarterback after quarterback? Are we going to be in a Cleveland Browns-esque quarterback cycle,
right,
trying to find our next quarterback?
Well, so, we've been in that. We have been in that.
Right. I mean, we're starting it. But this thing could go for, you know, 10 years.
It could.
I mean, it's not easy. So it starts with him. But also the other thing that makes this different between, you know, Trevor Siemian and his outing that he had versus the Cowboys and that kind of first few games of his tenure is the pieces around Drew Lock, the youth around him. Like, you know, we were kind of aging then, DT, and you just didn't have the hope of, you know, a Dalton Risner, a Noah Fant, a Courtland Sutton, and Philip Lindsay. You just didn't have that on the offense. And then also on top of all that, you look at this defense and the way that it's been playing and the way that it played.
Stingy.
And you look at some of the pieces and some of the youth there. And so I think it's more than just Drew Lock here. It's the whole football team. It's these young playmakers on the offensive side of the football that just get you excited.
You know, when a new company gets started and it's on its way to be successful and it's trending up, they'll say, you know, that guy, he was on the ground floor of it. He's on the ground floor. You're at the very start of it, and you're there for the whole ride, and you're going to make a whole bunch of money, right? It feels like, despite the record being flat out awful, despite the Broncos maybe picking, you know, 10th in the draft, it feels like we are on the ground floor of something new and something potentially special.
And
you look at Drew Lock, Courtland Sutton, Tim Patrick, Noah Fant, Philip Lindsay, Dalton Risner, A.J. Johnson. It feels like we are truly onto something, and I can say that with real conviction. Like, I'm not, you know, it's not some grand pie in the sky. I'm seeing it.
And right now, nobody cares about the record. Nobody cares. Like, what's our record? Nobody cares. They don't care if we win another game. If Drew Lock keeps on progressing, That's the hope, and that's the optimism right now is, okay, yeah, we know we're bad. We know we've been bad now for three football seasons. Find us a quarterback. Did we find ourselves a quarterback?
Right.
That's where it's at right now.
Chugga, 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 drill. It's gaining steam, Zach. I hear that train coming. You're throwing that coal on that engine. I'm the conductor of this thing.
Oh, you're a conductor.
Right. I hear that train coming.
Yeah.
It's coming around the bend.
You and Mike found Drew back in the day. He was like found him as a youth Pop Warner kid. And
that's right. Just like Philip Lindsay.
Right.
Just like Philip Lindsay. He claims to find it was recess, fourth grade,
yep,
back in Kansas City, and Drew Lock was playing kickball and outrunning everyone, and Mike was passing through town, spotted talent, put it in the Mizzou.
He saw him throw like and take a kid out.
That's right.
Almost took the kid's head off and
that's
said,
right,
that kid can be the next star quarterback for the Broncos.
Pretty gosh darn terrific.
You know, it truly does feel like a new day. So let's give out some game balls.
Oh!
If you could only give out one game ball, is Drew Lock in it?
Do you remember who I gave my game ball out to last week? You remember you tried to say that I wasn't prepared, and I said you could have the floor first, and you're not prepared, and I said, yes, I am, and then I just roll with it. You don't remember who it was?
Golly, I remember this sequence of events.
Yes. It was Kareem Jackson last week.
Okay.
So I'm not going to give him two in a row. He was great last week, and he was great yesterday. Okay? He's been great this whole year. My game ball, I'm going to take it, is Drew Lock. I mean, look, first road start, 22 for 27, over 300 yards, three touchdowns, the one bad pick, which I didn't think it was as bad of a throw as what the announcers were saying it was, but it was an interception. He was brilliant from the start to pretty much the finish. And the way that Rich diagram plays for him and the way that he executed plays, and you can have, I don't care, you can have four of those arm sleeve thingamajiggies, wristbands, and you can look at it as much as you want. I really don't care. Just let's not burn timeouts and let's make sure we hike the ball on time. And if you keep delivering and throwing the football the way that you've been throwing the football, he was brilliant. I mean, you You forget it was a second ever start.
Right.
You really do. You forget that he was on IR to start the season. You forget the talk about, man, well, he just hasn't practiced. You know, we got to let him practice. And he goes out there and throws for over 300 yards against the Houston Texans in Houston, which is riding the momentum of that big win that they had the week before. My game ball is Drew Lock.
But Stoke, he failed the level on virtual reality.
Oh, I know his score was just a little bit too low, and he just couldn't read the coverage.
He couldn't beat the boss. He couldn't beat the boss at the end of the level.
Oh,
he couldn't beat King Koopa.
Well, then of course he couldn't play in real football if he can't handle virtual reality.
I think it is so funny, the narrative that was surrounding this kid before he ever freaking practiced. Like, I'm going back and forth with Nick Ferguson in a war room 4 weeks ago, and he's telling me I know everything I need to know about Drew Lock. Like, how, bro? The kid hasn't even practiced. He hasn't even taken a snap. There's people in this building and people that cover this football team outside of this building that didn't believe in Drew Lock, that believed the garbage and the sewage that was coming out of Dove Valley, that Drew Lock wasn't ready because of XYZ. How the hell did you know?
They were pumping it out there.
Dude, it was weird.
It really was, the whole why Drew Lock wasn't playing, why they weren't trying to get him on the practice field. And now it makes it even more weirder.
More weirder.
More weirder is what it makes it, looking at the way he's been performing. But it was. They were just pumping out this info of why they didn't want him out on the practice field, and why they didn't want him playing, whether it's virtual reality, whether it's like, oh my gosh, his footwork is just so bad. Goodness, look, it's just bad. He's just, the thing about footwork is this, Zach. Look, some people can get away with bad footwork. It doesn't have to be perfect. Okay. And guess what? Paxton Lynch had awful footwork. He couldn't get away with it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You look at these other quarterbacks that get away with bad. Nobody talks about it because they're accurate, because they throw on the run, because they throw with a bad pocket, because they step to the left, but they are accurate with it. They can get by with it. And certainly you don't want it all the time when there's a clean pocket for you.
Sure.
But great quarterbacks can get away with it. And they can thrive in those situations. And that's what Drew Lock looks like he's going to be. That quarterback that can overcome subpar footwork. And sometimes that's a good thing. It's a good thing because that's a normal quarterback pocket. You don't have time to step up and have a clean pocket every time. You got to be able to throw, step into the left, dodging, you know, pass rushers and all those things. And that's what he does. But the things that were coming out of Dove Valley.
It was bizarre. Cow. It was bizarre. It really was. And, you know, and it's not to say like, it's not going to be perfect. It's still not going to be perfect. He's going to continue to struggle and bump his head. He may go out next week against Kansas City and throw three interceptions.
Kansas City's defense has been playing really good here the last month, weeks.
They have been very, very much improved. So it's not going to be perfect. But the thing is, like, This idea that he needed to be quote unquote ready before he got out there. Who's ready to start their first NFL football game? Troy Aikman went 1-15 his rookie year. Peyton Manning set the interception record. Peyton really struggled early on.
Keep it to Troy.
Okay. but.
I'm in a good move.
The point, like, Josh Allen, people think that, you know, Josh Allen's a franchise quarterback. He threw 72 yards in his first ever NFL game. It's never going to be perfect. And this idea that he needed to be quote unquote ready before he played in a football game, it's like being a parent. And I heard someone on the station, I forget who it was, make this analogy. Like, you're never ready to be a parent. You just become a parent and you figure it out. And hopefully you become a good parent. And it's the same way with quarterbacks. Drew Lock, this kid is going to figure it out. He's going to stumble. He's going to bump his head. He's going to learn how to, you know, you got to crawl before you walk. And I think we're getting a lot of success early, and that's awesome and that's great. But this is very much going to be a process here with Drew Lock. And I hope that this fan base, and maybe more importantly, this organization is ready for the process of dealing with a young potential franchise quarterback, because it's going to take a while.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the fan base, but the organization, I would say, is definitely. I mean, that's the plan. That's going to be, you know, it's going to be him. So they're going to ride that ebb and flow, ups and downs.
Well, yeah.
Of course, John.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.